December 30th, 1610. A powerful member of the Bathory clan of Transylvania is arrested after allegedly being found soaked in blood while tormenting a young girl. In fact, Elizabeth is said to have murdered as many as 650 young virgins, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. Why? So she could bathe in their blood in order to stay young. Or was it a story fabricated by powerful men who owed her family a lot of money in order to have her arrested and their debt erased? This is the story of Elizabeth Bathory, the Blood Countess. Hey, y'all, I'm Chris Calvert.
And I'm her husband, Rob Podor. Welcome to Hitch to Homicide.
For better or worse.
Till death do us part.
Welcome back, everybody.
Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome. And for our broadcast today, these are for our friends in Hungary.
Guess we're going there today.
We are. Udvözlet, udvözlet, udvözlet.
Very nice.
There you go.
You did way better than I'm probably going to do with all of these names.
Listen, that I had to go over that name a few times before I could get that out of my mouth.
Well, wherever you are listening, be sure to like, rate, and review. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening.
Yep.
Be sure to go join our closed Facebook group, The In-Laws and Outlaws.
Yes.
You can always follow us on social media, on Instagram at Hitch to Homicide, and on X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yep.
At H2H underscore podcast.
There you go.
Now, we're going way back into history on this one.
Okay.
Tons of movies, plays, operas. Even Lady Gaga played a character on American Horror Story that is based on Elizabeth Bathory.
Oh, wow. And you know I love history, so.
You do love history. And we're going back to 1600, the 1600s.
Wow.
So it's an interesting true crime sort of case where you get to make the call.
Okay.
Before I get started, let me thank some sources. National Geographic, Today in History, History.com, Elizabeth Bathory, The Blood Countess documentary, and Elizabeth Bathory, A True Story by Alexandra Bartosiewicz. I'm going to say it right now. I apologize for all my pronunciations of this.
All right. Well, you ready?
I am.
Okay, let's do it.
Elizabeth Bathory was born on August 7th, 1560.
Wow.
She is the daughter of Jurg and Anna Bathory.
Jurg.
Because the Bathorys often marry within their family, many of them suffered from mental illness.
Oh, wow.
Or other genetic disorders. For example, King Stephen Bathory had attacks of epilepsy. His two brothers were well-known tyrants and criminals, and the whole lot of them were thought to be one brick shy of a load.
And those were good points.
And that was exactly how it was written in the textbook. They're one brick shy of a load. That's me, sorry. They're crazy.
Yeah.
Elizabeth was pretty and slender. She had beautiful skin. That's called foreshadowing.
Uh-oh, hang on.
Yes.
Okay. I had a dog in my hand.
I'll say yeah. She also had really dark hair. From an early age, she distinguished herself by not only her extraordinary beauty, but she was very smart.
Hmm.
She spoke Hungarian, Slavic, Greek, Latin, and German.
Wow.
By the time she's at the age of 4 or 5, she suffered from epileptic seizures. She had violent mood swings, and she suffered from migraines.
Hmm.
My heart goes out to her. Yeah. I have them too.
Yep.
Elizabeth is living at a time when the beating of servants was an everyday thing.
Wow.
And according to Hungarian law, peasants were the property of the nobility, and the young countess saw a lot of violence. In 1566, while in Eszhed, she was allowed to observe a public execution of a local gypsy accused of kidnapping and selling children into slavery.
Man.
the gypsy was sewn into a horse's stomach.
Oh.
And I guess that's in order to smother her to death.
Wow.
When she's 15 years old, in turn, her cousin Stefan, in a fit of anger, ordered to cut the ears and noses of local peasants off if they said anything bad about him.
Wow.
In 1570, when Elizabeth's 10, she is promised to Ferenc Nasdaty, a future Hungarian war hero.
Hmm.
The official engagement took place 3 years later, and according to the custom, the young fiancé was sent to the court of her future mother-in-law to learn how to manage the house.
Okay.
And rumor had it that in 1574, Elizabeth gave birth to an illegitimate daughter whose father was a local peasant, Laszlo Bendy.
That had to have been a huge scandal back then.
Well, hang on to that thought, okay?
All right.
He was allegedly charged with rape, and it was said that Ferenc ordered him to be castrated, her fiancé.
Wow.
A child was born secretly and then handed over to a trusted woman who, for a huge fee, was sent away and told not to return to Transylvania during Elizabeth's life.
Gotcha.
On May 8th, 1575, a glamorous wedding ceremony took place at Narav nad Topol Castle.
Okay.
The wedding lasted 3 days.
Wow, 3 days.
3 days of partying and debauchery.
Listen, when I was younger, I used to sing at weddings all the time, and I thought Catholic weddings were long. That's crazy.
3 days.
I think I'd run out of a few tunes.
You would. You can only sing one song so many times.
There's only so many John Denver songs.
Yeah. There is love. You can only sing There Is Love so many times.
True. All right. Sorry. Go ahead. Yet I digress.
But Ferenc gave Elizabeth the Gothic castle of Csokhata,
okay,
located in the backwoods of Upper Hungary. I'm sure I butchered that. But thanks to the marriage, the two most powerful Hungarian families are now one very powerful Hungarian family.
Okay.
The Nasdaty, unlike the Bathorys, who everybody knows are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, were considered respectable. So she married into this respectable, conservative, pious family.
Okay.
And after the wedding, the newlyweds lived in Hungary in the castle of Szalva.
Okay.
The family estate of the Nasdatys.
Okay.
Ferenc spent most of his time at war.
Hmm.
3 years after the wedding, he set out to fight the Turks. And at that time, Elizabeth was traveling between numerous castles to oversee her estates and her servants. When in 1591, the so-called Long War began,
okay,
and Ferenc was labeled the Black Bay or the Black Knight.
Mm.
In his free time, he used to throw up a pair of Turkish prisoners and catch them on the tips of his swords.
Oh, man. So this wasn't Monty Python.
No. He was cruel. He was really a dark knight. He was a black knight. And when he comes home, he's also cruel.
Mm.
Once he ordered to smear a young girl with honey so that she was constantly bitten by insects.
Jeez.
And apparently it was Ferenc who taught his wife a trick called kicking the stars, which consisted of putting a piece of oil-soaked paper between the fingers of a disobedient servant and setting it on fire.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this guy, he's brutal.
He also presented Elizabeth with a pair of gloves ended in claws, which she used to punish her servants.
Jeez.
Now, when Ferenc was on his military expeditions, Elizabeth had numerous affairs. She was traveling, visiting relatives, including her Aunt Clara, who lived in Vienna, and was said to introduce her niece to the world of debauchery and lesbian orgies.
Mm, wow.
Aunt Clara's loyal servant, Thorko, introduced the countess into the world of dark powers.
Hmm.
And in the absence of her husband, she invited self-proclaimed sorcerers, seers, witches, and alchemists to hang out with her.
Just a few friends over for
just
drinks.
Just a few friends over to have a cocktail.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
When she began to show up with a man of pale complexion and unnaturally sharp teeth, who dressed in black, the local villagers, who believed in vampires, began to call her the Beast of Csokhata.
Wow.
Now, over time, Elizabeth became a master in preparing medicine stocks and potions. In one of her letters to her husband, she described an extremely effective way of casting spells. Quote, catch a black hen and beat it to death with a white cane. Keep the blood and smear a little of it on your enemy. If you get no chance to smear it on his body, obtain one of his garments and smear it, end quote.
Wow. You know what?
What?
I all of a sudden appreciate your notes or your texts that come to me when you're at Sam's and says, what do you want for dinner?
Do you want a chicken from Costco, honey?
Yeah.
I'm beating a black chicken with a white cane and bringing it to you.
He was. Okay, moving on.
Around 1585, the Countess began to torture her victims at Shava Castle. Why? Well, screams of the torture were supposed to relieve her nagging migraines. Now, if you have a migraine, when I have a migraine, the last thing I want to hear is a scream.
Exactly, a dog barking.
She quickly understood that peasant maids working at the castle were an easy target. The smallest mistake of the servant was an excuse for her to punish somebody. Mm. She liked to torment people by stabbing them under their nails.
What?
Or cutting their fingers off.
Oh, man.
Naked girls were also poured with water and left in the cold. Sometimes natural methods were used. The servants were beaten and then flogged with nettles. Mm. Over time, Elizabeth's tortures became more and more brutal. The bodies of unfortunate servants were torn with pliers, Ooh. Torn apart with pliers. Yeah. Sometimes the victim's skin was scorched with a hot iron, or the victim's mouth was dragged in the corners apart for so long that it would tear their mouth apart.
Ugh. Wow.
Made me think of the Joker.
Yeah.
In 1601, Anna de Ruvla, a witch described by the locals as a wild beast in a female body, became the Countess's accomplice in many of her crimes. Man. Anna moved into the castle, and after that, she started living with Elizabeth. Elizabeth's personality began to change. The mistress became crueler. It was Anna who taught the Countess how to kill.
Wow.
Elizabeth used the cholera epidemic as an excuse for the death of her first victims.
Hmm.
The local clergy got suspicious when more and more often they were asked to perform the funeral rites for servants who died either of cholera or for, quote, unknown and mysterious reasons, end quote.
I fell.
Yeah. So the ministers are like, why are we getting all these bodies from the castle?
Yeah.
It's cholera. It's mysterious. You know, they're like suspicious.
Right.
In 1602, a priest publicly demanded the exhumation of the bodies, and he asked Count Nodesty, together with another priest from the area, to stop his wife's cruelty to the innocent. Well, he's cruel too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fairlance died on January 4th, 1604. It was officially stated that he died of combat injuries sustained several days earlier. The locals, however, speculated that Elizabeth herself, or somebody around her, murdered him. Shortly after he dies, Elizabeth moved to Chaquita, where she initially lived. This is when the victims of the, quote, blood princess began to grow.
Wow.
Soon she started to attack her victims with her teeth, biting off pieces of their body from their necks, their arms, or their cheeks. She started to use razors, torches, and tongs. She used to stitch her seamstress's mouth shut if she did not like the new dress that they made for her.
I hope they had dental. Sorry.
The most trusted servants of Elizabeth were, and this is a quote, an ugly dwarf named Yaw,
okay.
Anna de Ruvla, the nurse of Elizabeth's children, Iona Yo, and witch Dorothea Senses, called Dorca.
Okay.
Also in her posse is a laundress, Catalin Benica, as well as an old local witch and poisoner, Buzorca of Miyava, which Elizabeth began to see when Anna became blind. So when her friend became blind, she started seeing this witch.
Gotcha.
Now, apparently they all had their specialties. Dorka liked to cut fingers off with scissors. Anna preferred to give 500 strokes with a whip. Elizabeth liked everything. And Ilona later testified, quote, anywhere she went, she looked immediately for a place where they could torture a girl, end quote.
Good grief.
A local resident heard from the servants that, quote, their mistress could neither eat nor drink if she had not previously seen one of the virgins from amongst her maids killed in a bloody way, end quote.
Wow.
So instead of Netflix, Elizabeth is just torturing. That's her entertainment.
And she had no subscription fees.
It's not. So it's not Netflix and chill. Yeah. It's like, you know, torture.
Yeah.
And then chill.
Jeez.
The Count's death reminded Elizabeth that she's not going to live forever. She's now a single widow. She's 40 years old. And she's ready to do anything to stop time from marching on.
Yeah. Especially back in that era, 40 was actually pretty old.
Yeah, it is old.
Yeah.
So she doesn't want time to march on, or she doesn't want it marching all over her face.
Okay.
Every piece of her body was rubbed with new care products, which she brought from many journeys. For hours, her hair was pinned up in various ways. Rumor had it that when a servant made her hair inappropriately, the Countess fell into a rage and massacred the girl. After having washed the maid's blood from her face, she saw that her skin was smoother and firmer.
Really?
Yes. And it was then that Elizabeth came up with an idea to take a bath in a tub filled with the blood of virgins.
What?
She wants to regain her former beauty.
Okay.
She calls Dorka and Fietzkul. She tells them to undress the girl, hold her arms over a large vat. Then she cut the victim's arteries. When the maid bled, the Countess took a bath in the blood. From now on, this was her miraculous elixir of life.
Oh, jeez. Ugh.
When one of the girls was to die, it was always quiet in the castle. Don't know why. Maybe because it's like, who's it going to be today?
Everybody was hiding.
Yeah. Anyone who came to see Elizabeth was told she was sick. Then immediately after dark, the victim was sent to the cellar for wine, where a dwarf, Fietzkul, overpowered her and killed her with a knife.
Wow.
Elizabeth then hurried to the cellar with her maidservants, who carried the dead to this prepared bathtub. And after the bath, Elizabeth went to her room, and her servants gathered the clods of dried blood, which they later used to wrap Elizabeth's body up in.
I think I'm going to vomit.
The dwarf's task was to hide the corpse in one of the numerous underground passages.
Okay.
It's very Game of Thrones.
Jeez.
It's really Game of Thrones.
Wow.
Sometimes Elizabeth took a blood shower. A young victim would be closed in a cage that was low underneath her, too narrow to sit in, but it was full of studs. So this cage is suspended in the ceiling. They put the girl inside it. And when the cage starts rocking as she's trying to get out back and forth, she's torn to pieces between the studs, and the blood flows down.
Wow.
The so-called Iron Virgin was used as well. The mannequin had 5 knives that slid out of the holes under the breast, stabbing the victim to death. So they were putting girls inside these iron maidens that would cut them so the blood would drain underneath it.
Good
She'd
grief.
Get her blood shower.
Wow.
At that same time, Elizabeth was traveling a lot, usually leaving when the murders started to arouse suspicion.
You think?
Yeah.
Wow.
She visited Monrovia, the Czech Republic, Austria, and Poland. Wherever she was staying, girls immediately began to disappear, and their mutilated bodies were later found in fields.
Man.
And it never occurred to anyone to attribute these crimes to this Hungarian aristocrat.
Right.
Why would they think that this countess would be killing people?
Yeah, I'm sure.
When Elizabeth notices that the blood of ordinary villagers gave a weak effect in improving her appearance, It's not that it's ordinary villagers, Elizabeth. She starts to kill beautiful, noble women.
Wow.
Yeah. She wants their blood instead because the blood's not working. It should be.
Yeah.
It's because it's peasant blood. In 1609, she opened an academy called the Gynecium, and affluent parents started asking Elizabeth about their children getting sick and dying when coming there. And Elizabeth's explanations raised suspicions. She could only blame, again, the cholera epidemic. And she can only do this so many times.
Yeah.
So then it changed to there was a hunting accident. That was why the girl was dead.
Oh, man.
But Elizabeth, who's a few pickles shy of a quart anyway, she's slipping even more and more mentally. And she didn't really even care if she covered her tracks.
Okay.
When the cellars are full of bodies and there's no more room for the next victims, the bodies of the dead were buried in shallow pits in the courtyard or thrown into the castle moat, and hungry dogs pulled them out of the ground and out of the water.
This is like a really bad, awful movie.
Yeah. Wow. Well, there have been movies made about it. There have been operas, plays, you name it, about this story.
Wow.
These dead bodies are also transported by a special carriage while the remains were thrown around the area from its windows. So they'll put a dead body, cut it up inside this carriage, and they're just driving down the road. They're just throwing stuff out the windows. A leg here and an arm there.
Bring out your dead.
Yeah, bring out your dead. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not dead yet.
Yeah. I'm not dead yet.
When things start to go too far, there are 12 complaints that are sent to the royal court. And that's when the Hungarian king, Matthias II, initiated an investigation. In the spring of 1610, on behalf of the king and the parliament, the highest judge, Jurgi Thurzo, initiated a secret investigation. Witnesses were interrogated by investigators, and 52 people were interviewed, most of whom confirmed their worst suspicions. They spoke about the tortured, the murdered girls, and the reported cases of cannibalism.
Ooh.
Still, none of those interviewed said that they saw any of it with their own eyes. It's all secondhand information.
Hearsay.
Yes. There was a report by three pastors who discovered bodies in tunnels connecting the church with the castle. They also helped in this case. And initially, Thurzo intended to close the countess inside a monastery, just lock her up.
Yeah.
But when Elizabeth began to threaten him with the support of the pro-Turkish Bathory proletariat, led by Gabriel, who was just rebelling against the Habsburgs, the Palatine was left with no choice. So now she's pulling her political cards.
Right.
He knows that if he summoned the countess to court and proved that she was guilty, her enormous fortune would have to be confiscated, mostly by the king of Hungary.
Gotcha.
So he made an agreement with Elizabeth's heirs. The countess was to be caught red-handed so that she could not deny the crime. She would then spend the rest of her life locked inside her castle.
Okay.
So everyone waited for Christmas to come and go. And on December 29th through the 30th, which is
your birthday,
my birthday, Jurgi Thurzo and his crew, they go into this mansion, into the castle, unguarded. And in front of Elizabeth's eyes, people brought the bodies of victims into the courtyard. So they're just like bringing these bodies in. They pull her out. They start bringing bodies in. And one of the girls was still alive.
Oh.
And they asked her, "Who hurt you?" And she says, "A woman named Catalin tore me with tongs, and Lady Widow Nadasti beat me with her hand," meaning Elizabeth.
Yeah.
When the countess hears this, she tries to blame her servants. Quote, "I let them do it because even I was afraid of them," end quote. She was like, I don't have anything to do with these servants beating or doing this to these girls. I'm afraid of my servants as well.
Wow.
After a long search, 50 corpses are found.
Wow.
And the countess was taken to the castle and her three servants, as well as the dwarf, to Bicha for interrogation. Mm-hmm. During their interrogations, they're tortured.
Oh.
And in their testimonies, they tried to blame each other. Everybody. Everybody's pointing fingers. Yeah, but mostly they're pointing them to Elizabeth.
Right.
Fietzkohl testified that Elizabeth mistreated the servants when the count was still alive, but when she hired Deruvlia, she started to brutally murder her victims. Mm. According to him, she personally murdered 37 girls.
Wow.
Three servants in turn testified that Elizabeth killed between 36 and 50 people. The register belonging to Elizabeth showed the number of victims was much higher. Mm. 650.
Holy cow.
After the hearings, a 14-member court met, and the final verdict came on January 7th, 1611. They charged Elizabeth and her accomplices with vampirism, sorcery, and celebrating pagan rituals.
Oh, my.
She was sentenced to life imprisonment in her castle. Catalin, due to lack of evidence, was also sentenced to life in prison. And the other servants, they were sentenced to death.
Oh, wow.
Fietzkohl, Iona, and Doracha were executed on the same day. Hmm. And because of his young age, the dwarf was beheaded and publicly burned.
Gee whiz.
Both of Elizabeth's helpers were tortured before death. They were burned alive 2 weeks later on January 24th.
Man.
Now, Countess Elizabeth Bathory was spared her life because she's an aristocrat.
Right.
She has these aristocratic origins. So she's locked up in an isolated room with this tiny little hole for her food for the rest of her life. Hmm. Elizabeth lived 3 years this way. And during this time, she protested against the verdict over and over and over.
I'm sure she did. Yeah.
The Countess Elizabeth was found dead on August 21st, 1614. And even today, her death is a mystery. Some say she was poisoned. Others say that she died of hunger. According to legends, her body was in a terrible state. Her forearms had tooth marks, while the area around her body where it was found was covered in blood. Mm. She was buried in the crypt of the church in Chakita, and until now, however, the body of the countess was not found, which contributed to several conspiracy theories about her alleged escape. So that is what the legend says. Now let's take a closer look at the historical facts that have been discovered just in recent years.
Okay.
After she marries, Elizabeth received the castle in Chakita with nearby villages as a wedding gift.
Right.
And she spent very little time in it because, especially in winter, this castle was uninhabitable. She couldn't live there. It was too cold. It really wasn't a place you could live.
All right.
Ferlance appeared at his wife's side only between successive battles. And at that time, Elizabeth supervised the entire estate on his behalf. She's a boss bitch. She's like handling everything.
Right.
She settled local disputes.
Okay.
She helped to educate young noble women who came to her court. She was very much a feminist. She knew five languages. She wanted these women to know more.
Right.
Hungarian sources state that Elizabeth and her husband had six children, Anna, Catalin, Pal, Andreas, and two more children whose dates of birth are unknown. They both died. Two girls died as children. When Elizabeth's husband died on January 4th, 1604, she decided to move permanently to the castle in Chakita, which she rebuilt. And a year later, Elizabeth's brother, Stephen, died. And after his death, the countess inherited another castle. It was a strategic point. The Devon Castle is a strategic point on the Austrian border.
All right.
Elizabeth sold this castle, but never received payment for it. So she's a woman in a man's world, basically,
right,
okay?
Right.
And she managed a huge estate until December 30th, 1610, when she's arrested and imprisoned by Jurgi Thurzo. And she's accused of the murders of noble women, beatings, torture. There's all of her friends and the dwarf, and they all admit to these charges. Mm-hmm. And a pastor even wrote a letter saying the witnesses should testify, in his opinion, while being tortured, which is exactly what they did.
Right.
The countess never admitted to any of the alleged crimes. Until the end of her days, she was writing letters to the king asking for an acquittal. Mm-hmm. There are documents that show that King Matthias II demanded a re-examination of the case. In July and December of 1611, reports with testimonies of 336 witnesses were added to the case files.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They were just rounding up people.
Jeez.
And because Elizabeth was afraid of a possible conviction just before her death on July 31st, 1614, she wrote a will in which she gave everything she possessed to her children. Hmm. So remember, she was never tried for any of this. They just locked her up.
No hearing, no court, no nothing. Just locked her up.
Yeah, because you can't really do that to an aristocrat, a noble person of birth.
Hmm. Okay.
On August 21st, 1614, Elizabeth is found dead on the floor in her little chamber. She's buried 3 months later on November 25th, 1614, in the crypt at Choctaw. I told you this before.
Right.
But when local residents demanded the removal of her body, they're like, get her out of here.
Mm-hmm.
She was buried again in 1617 in Neujaced in northeastern Hungary.
Okay.
But when the family crypt was opened in 1995...
Yeah.
The remains of the countess were not there.
Really?
Historians claim that her grave is located somewhere in the cemetery in Budapest. Hmm. But there is no evidence to prove that. So what was true and what was false?
Right, right.
First of all, her alleged sadism wasn't a result of an incestuous relationship of her parents. Mm-hmm. Her parents' families are separated by 7 generations.
Oh.
So remember how I said they kind of married inside the family?
Right.
Well, they tried to say that her parents were closer than they were.
Gotcha.
But they're actually separated by 7 generations.
Okay.
And Elizabeth could have witnessed many drastic scenes that left a lasting impression on her as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
The story about the gypsy sewn into the horse's stomach.
Right.
But most people say that's kind of it has to be untrue.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's an expensive punishment. The horse was worth more than the gypsy's life.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So they killed a horse just to sew somebody inside?
Exactly.
Wow.
So what they said was that kind of thing was really reserved for horrible criminals,
right.
Not just a gypsy.
Right.
And historians also deny that Elizabeth had this illegitimate child, because if she had actually become pregnant with a local peasant as a girl, the family would have burned any records of it,
mm-hmm.
and Elizabeth would have been sent to a monastery.
Mm.
There's also no evidence that the countess, during her husband's absence, participated in orgies that were organized by her Aunt Clara. So no lesbian orgies.
Okay.
It's also false that Elizabeth was into sorcery. She was fascinated with herbalism, poisons, medicine, and alchemy.
Hmm.
But lots of women were doing this at this time.
Okay.
And the legend of tortures and murders of servants and young noble women, it also seems very untrue, because the countess would not allow a significant loss of servants at a time where there was one disease after another.
Sure.
So what they're saying is Elizabeth thought that good help was hard to find,
yeah.
and she needed all hands on deck. She needed everybody she could to work at her castle.
Right.
So why would she kill them?
Right.
Also, if there'd been any acts of sadism in the castle, the rich families would have stopped sending their daughters to the court of Elizabeth.
Exactly, yeah.
And historians have discovered that the cause of death for her husband, he wasn't poisoned, but he was poisoned by mercury that was used to heal people suffering from venereal diseases.
Oops.
Husbands out in war,
yeah,
hooking up with whatever.
Yeah.
The tales of Elizabeth's bloodbaths also seem highly unlikely.
Yeah.
She would need blood from about 30 victims for a single bath.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth taking blood baths isn't mentioned until after Elizabeth has been dead for 100 years. And finally, Elizabeth was never accused of witchcraft or casting spells. In her prosecution, there's not a single word about an Iron Maiden or Satanism. Mm. The trial against Elizabeth was aimed at destroying her power and influence because she was a Bathory.
Right.
The conspiracy was an intricate work of Jurgi, the judge. He was a Hungarian aristocrat who tried to prove that a crazy woman is living in the castle and abusing people with the help of a witch.
Yeah.
And the truth is that Elizabeth's great passion was healing, and each noblewoman in her castle had to learn the basics of anatomy as well as the simplest healing techniques.
Okay.
Yet medical operations in that castle aroused even more suspicions when Elizabeth hired Anna Deruvla, who was a midwife and healer from Vienna.
Oh, wow.
Not a witch.
Yeah.
Her specialty was surgery, bloodletting, burning wounds with a hot iron to cauterize them, cutting out tumors and birthmarks. Fevers were treated with alternating cold and hot baths and bubbles, and infected tissues, boils, and abscesses were removed.
Okay.
People began to believe that Elizabeth, with the help of Deruvla, was committing terrible crimes. But the dates of the deaths of these young women really did coincide with well-documented cases of local epidemics of the plague and of typhus.
Gotcha.
In just 1 week in 1610, just before the arrest of Elizabeth, 8 women died in the castle. One of the letters from that period, however, proved irrefutably that at that time, Elizabeth and her daughter were in Vienna. She wasn't even there.
Really?
And according to the indictment on the day of the arrest, the Palatine caught Elizabeth red-handed bathing in blood.
Okay.
So they're saying, Jurgi says, I caught her. She's bathing in blood. She's in Vienna.
Wow.
It's also known that at that time when he's saying he's seeing her bathe in blood,
right,
there was actually a young woman who was attacked by a wild animal the day before, and she was being treated in the castle.
Okay.
And the patient survived, but her testimony never made it to the court. And Elizabeth herself did not plead guilty because she wasn't even allowed to testify. It didn't even go that far. They just locked her up.
Jeez.
She was bricked up in one of her rooms. And they remanded her into the custody of the guards, and the countess was allowed to invite a few guests in. Nevertheless, the imprisonment of a noble woman without a court judgment was definitely an unprecedented event.
I'm sure.
They would have never, I'm just going to say it now, they wouldn't have done it if she was a man.
Yeah.
So it turns out that Elizabeth Bathory was probably the victim of a conspiracy of her relatives. At that time in Hungary, the country was divided into 3 parts. The western part was ruled by a dynasty from Vienna. The central part was ruled by the Ottoman Empire. And from the eastern part, the Duchy of Transylvania was created.
Okay.
There were more motives behind Jurgi's involvement in the overthrow of the Countess Elizabeth. Financial motives.
Mm-hmm.
The Hungarian king, Matthias II, owed a ton of money to Elizabeth after her husband's death.
Okay.
And at the beginning of the 17th century, it was the royal treasury to take over the property of those convicted of crimes.
Wow.
So all they have to do is convict her of a crime to take her money.
Yeah. Yep.
When a nobleman was found guilty of killing someone from his family, he was sentenced to death and all his fortune was given to the ruler. If the murdered nobleman was from outside the family, then the king was entitled to 1/3 of the property of the accused. So if the king had taken over the property of the countess, he would have enriched himself. He would have made himself rich,
yeah,
and he would have gotten rid of his biggest creditor.
Yeah.
He owed her money.
Sure, yeah.
And the king and Jurgi wanted to seize all of the Bathory's goods. So it's been said that Elizabeth's son-in-laws are taking part in this conspiracy, and that the highest judge met with all of them on June 7th, 1610, in secret.
Wow. Wow.
So Elizabeth was imprisoned illegally because she was never tried, and the testimonies of the witnesses contradicted each other, and all of them were secondhand information.
Right.
And those interviews said that they had never seen anything, but had only heard about the alleged killings. And because they know they've got this flimsy case, they deliberately postpone it.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth ended up outwitting them all because she wrote this will giving everything to her children. She deprived herself of all her means, so neither the king nor Jurgi could count on her money anymore.
Nice.
Now, at this point, it's worth noting that there are many followers of another theory. They point to the fact that Jurgi was a close friend of Elizabeth's husband. And a day before he died, he asked him to take care of his family. And Jurgi was convinced of Elizabeth's guilt and decided to protect her from the consequences of a shameful trial.
Yeah, whatever.
And after the meeting with her relatives, he agreed to put a mentally ill woman in her castle for a life of imprisonment.
Wow.
Today, more than 400 years later, we still don't know the whole truth about the life and death of Elizabeth.
Right.
I just feel like if she was a man, even if she was a man that was going crazy, I mean, King George was crazy, right?
Yep.
She would have been protected.
Right.
Instead, because she was into healing and alchemy and herbalism, she was just deemed a vampire, a demon, and wanted to bathe in blood.
Well, she had a couple of things going against her. Number one, she was a woman, especially in that time that, you know, females with power were basically a threat.
Okay? Yeah, and many instances that still happens today.
True, true.
Sorry, I've just had to say it.
The second thing is the fact that she was owed a lot of money by this guy.
Yep.
I think that's more.
Yeah, there's motive.
Yeah.
There's motive for it because money is always a motive. I think the truth is somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
I think she probably was mean to peasants and maybe some of her servants. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure.
I think her husband liked to torture people. I think she was mean and didn't care, you know, what happened to some of her servants or the peasants. But I don't think she was bathing in blood.
Yeah. It's just crazy.
Yeah. But that is the story of the Blood Countess, Elizabeth Bathory, and that's all I have to say about that. Hey, Hitch to Homicide listeners, the wait is over. If you're a reader or a fan of my Sex and Lies series, Book 10, Sex, Lies, and Rock and Roll is now available on Amazon. With a successful tour and 2 years of sobriety under his belt, rock star Noah Hart is ready to put his secrets and the past behind him. That is, until his former bandmates and business partners are murdered one by one, and suddenly he becomes the prime suspect. When FBI agent Louisa Hathaway is assigned to the case, no one, including her partner, is aware she carries her own secrets, including an undeniable infatuation with rock and roll's bad boy, Noah Hart. As the body count rises, Agent Hathaway is torn between unraveling the truth and falling for the man who might be the killer. Don't miss this new book, Sex, Lies, and Rock and Roll, by me, Chris Calvert. Only on Amazon. Rock and roll will never die, but it might kill you.
Yeah, I'm sure money had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I realize they thought that she was mentally ill, that she was crazy, but she did suffer from epilepsy, and they didn't really understand a whole lot about epilepsy back then.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm sure there were people who were mentally unstable in her family.
Right.
But at the same time, that didn't make her a murderer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. That didn't mean that she bathed in blood. I think they just came up with the most outrageous thing that they could think of. So they didn't have to pay her money, and they could just scoot her along.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, you know, whether she was nuts or not, you know, who knows? But I've got some people here that might really be nuts with a little bless your heart.
Well, bless your heart.
All right. Number one, I'm calling Look Out Below.
These are the last bless your hearts of 2023.
They are. They are. All right. Dopey drug dealer Rezwan Hussein panicked when police called at his home and he threw bags of heroin and cocaine out of an attic window, which landed at the feet of the officers outside.
Thank you, God.
That's exactly it.
Wow, that was easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hussein, 29, was caught red-handed after police arrived at his mother's home in March this year.
Okay.
To speak to his brother, Imran, who was wanted on other charges, only to be told that he was out. So they thought.
How many criminals does this mom have living in her house?
They got an enterprise going of some sort. They really do. So check this out. But Manchester's Minshull Street Crown Court, obviously, once again, this is in England, heard that as they returned to their car, Hussein panicked, dashed upstairs to a stash of drugs, and began throwing them out the window. Now, by the time the officers got to their vehicle, they noticed that the pavement was littered with neatly wrapped bags of cocaine, crack cocaine.
Wow.
And heroin.
Wow.
Yep, yep. Police arrested his parents.
Oh.
Yeah, after going back to the house, but Hussein had fled. Now, here okay. The reason they got arrested, here we go. A search of the property uncovered a 3 million pound drug factory in the basement, which is about, $3,235,655, give or take a couple quarters.
What? It's like the gentleman.
Hussein gave himself up after claiming responsibility for the drugs operation to allow his family members to be released. He was jailed he was jailed for 11 years and 6 months after pleading guilty to supplying Class A drugs. Hussein's brother, Imran, is still being hunted by police in connection
with
the offenses. Yep.
We had no idea what was going on downstairs in our basement.
We just thought they were playing with Game Boy.
But it reminds me of the movie. Is it The Gentleman, where they like open up the, looks like a storage unit, and then they go down and the whole thing's...
Yep. Yeah,
the whole operation's underground.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, number two.
That was just weed, though.
Yeah. Number two, DNA. What's that? A dim-witted thief who wrote "Can't Catch Me" on the wall of a cricket club.
Oh my gosh!
Was caught after his fingerprints were found on the marker pen he used to scrawl the graffiti.
Seriously. Seriously.
Yep.
Okay.
Hapless John Stevens, 25. Broke into the Rumwood Cricket Club in Maidstone, Kent in June and pinched a handbag and three cricket balls.
He stole somebody's handbag and three cricket balls?
Yep. Last week, the court heard how Stevens wrote a note with a black marker pen and helped himself to a glass of squash at the scene.
Can't catch me. Yeah.
Squash is a fruit drink, in case you want to know what that was. Okay. When police were called to the club, however, they swabbed the pen and the glass tumbler.
Stephen had left a glass tumbler behind, too?
Yeah, Stephen had used, found his prints and DNA all over them.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man.
I know. Stevens, who had a string of previous offenses to his name, initially denied burglarizing the club, claiming...
It wasn't me!
No way. Claiming he just walked into the club during a late night stroll.
Oh, I was just walking by.
Yeah, he told officers he found the cricket club door open during a therapeutic late night walk.
Of course he did.
But denied stealing anything or putting graffiti on the walls. Now,
can't catch me.
Yeah. Stephen claims the worst crime he had committed was having a glass of squash.
I hope they wrote underneath it, "We caught him." We did catch you.
But the court heard that when police raided Stephen's home in Maidstone, they found the stolen handbag and three cricket balls. Yep. The dad of one eventually admitted burglary after being confronted with the DNA evidence.
Aw.
Yep. Stephen was handed a 120-pound fine, 180-pound criminal court charge, and 20-pound victim surcharge last week. I like the surcharge.
Yeah, I just like it that where you... You're getting a fine, and then we're fining you because we had to come to court and listen to this BS. Yeah. And on top of that, we're giving you a surcharge.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so if you're going to scrawl stuff and drink stuff, you probably shouldn't leave fingerprints in your DNA.
Run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man.
Yeah, Yeah.
He's been caught.
Yeah. Okay, third and finally.
And the last one of 2023. Yep. I'm being so dramatic.
A knife-wielding would-be bank robber went a bit crazy when he ordered a cashier to pay money directly into his own account.
I think that's called a transfer, honey. That's not a robbery.
Bungling Paul Neverson, 61, who has no previous convictions, went into a high street branch of Nate West and approached the counter. He told the cashier, let me do a little English accent here.
Oh, no.
Put 500 pounds into my account before producing the knife.
I don't know if that was a good British account or not. People might say that you are Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins.
Oh, Mary Poppins.
Yeah. People are going to think that you're Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins.
Yeah. The startled employee hit the bank's alarm button, and Neverson turned and ran away.
She was like, let me see if I can make that transfer for you. Ding.
The court heard last week that he also tried to rob a branch of HSBC just 400 feet away.
Well, he's staying in the neighborhood. Yeah.
Again, he fled empty-handed after the cashier told him he did not have the 500 pounds in the till.
Oh.
Yeah, Neverson was arrested by police, who arrived soon after the second failed robbery.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's done.
God love his heart. Bless his heart.
I know.
Well, if you have a bless your heart, or you know somebody's heart who needs blessing in the year 2024.
Yep.
Go to hitchtohomicide.com, where there's a pull-down menu. And while you're there, you can also suggest a case.
Yep.
That's all we have today. Rob and I want to wish everybody a happy new year.
Yes, happy new year.
I don't believe in resolutions. Just go out there and live your best life.
That's it.
That's my amazing husband out there.
That's my beautiful bride in the booth.
Join us next year on Hitch to Homicide.
Bye, y'all.